In those days, John the Baptist appeared preaching in the desert of Judea, and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And this is the testimony of John. When the Jews from Jerusalem sent priests and Levites to him to ask him, "Who are you?" he said, "I am the voice of one crying out in the desert, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as Isaiah the prophet said. I am baptizing you with water for repentance, but the one who is coming after me is mightier than I am not worthy to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire." The next day he saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. John tried to prevent him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and yet you are coming to me?" Jesus said to him in reply, "Allow it now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." Then he allowed him. After Jesus was baptized, he came up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened for him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming upon him. And a voice came from the heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." Ascribe to the Lord, O mighty ones, ascribe to the Lord glory and might. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due to his name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. The voice of the Lord echoes over the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord thunders over mighty waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is filled with majesty. The voice of the Lord shatters the cedars. The Lord shatters the cedars of Lebanon. He makes Lebanon skip like a calf, and Sirion like a young wild ox. The voice of the Lord flashes forth with bolts of lightning. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord batters the oaks and strips the forest bare, while in his temple all cry out, "Glory!" The Lord sits enthroned above the flood. The Lord is enthroned as King forever. May the Lord grant strength to his people. May the Lord bless his people with peace. John the Baptist stood at the threshold between the Old Covenant and the New, at once preparing the way of the Lord by calling us to repentance, and when the time for Christ's ministry had come, announcing, "Behold, the Lamb of God," and baptizing him. In the baptism of Jesus, the Trinity is manifested. Christ, the Son of God made man, the Father's one perfect and unsurpassable word, goes down into the waters to sanctify them, and comes out to meet the Spirit descending upon him like a dove, and the Father's voice echoing over the waters, "This is my beloved Son." Even now, the Father's voice echoes whenever someone is baptized and comes out of the waters as a child of God. Let each of us, children of God, be open to the inspirations of the Holy Spirit and, responding to the universal call to holiness, sanctify our daily lives, ever attentive to the mighty voice of the Lord, and like John, be voices crying out in the wilderness, urging the world to behold the Lamb of God. Let us pray. O Saint John the Baptist, help us to be docile instruments of the Holy Spirit. Increase in us a fervent longing to be saints. Assist us in our path to holiness. And if we lose ourselves in the wilderness, let us find you pointing us back to Jesus, the Lamb of God. Amen. On the third day there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee. and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine gave out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what concern is that to you and to me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Now standing there were 6 stone water jars for the Jewish rites of purification, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. Jesus said to them, "Fill the jars with water," and they filled them up to the brim. He said to them, "Now draw some out and take it to the chief steward." So they took it. When the steward tasted the water that had become wine and did not know where it came from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew, the steward called the bridegroom and said to him, "Everyone serves the good wine first and then the inferior wine after the guests have become drunk, but you have kept the good wine until now." Jesus did this, the first of his signs, in Cana of Galilee, and revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. In this first miracle of Christ's ministry, we get a glimpse of his glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son, full of grace and truth. And it comes at the behest of his mother, Mary. Mary, who notices what we need and never tires in bringing our petitions to her Son. Christ's generous response to a simple human need is a vision of the abundance of God's kingdom. He provided not just enough wine, but more than enough, and not just good wine, but the best wine. It inspires us to respond generously when faced with human need today. Let us respond as best we can, heeding the exhortation of Mary to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." In listening to Mary and following Christ, we can be confident that our efforts will be transformed into the miraculous fulfillment of God's kingdom, ever supported by Mary's constant prayers on our behalf. Let us pray. Mary, look at us. See us in our sufferings and aid us in our necessities. Teach us how to follow Christ and help us to accept God's loving kindness. Many graces are left unbestowed because we forget to ask, because we trust too little and fear too much. Remind us that we are children of God and are invited to the wedding feast of the Lamb. Amen. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness among the people. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then he began to speak and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. An argument arose among them as to which one of them was the greatest. But Jesus, aware of their inner thoughts, said to them, "The least among all of you is the greatest. I will extol you, my God and King, and bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you and praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. His greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall laud your works to another, and shall declare your mighty acts. On the glorious splendor of your majesty, and on your wondrous works, I will meditate. The might of your awesome deeds shall be proclaimed, and I will declare your greatness. They shall celebrate the fame of your abundant goodness, and shall sing aloud of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. The Lord is good to all, and his compassion is over all that he has made. All your works shall give thanks to you, O Lord, and all your faithful shall bless you. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and tell of your power, to make known to all people your mighty deeds and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. The Lord is faithful in all his words and gracious in all his deeds. The Lord upholds all who are falling and raises up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food in due season. You open your hand, satisfying the desire of every living thing. The Lord is just in all his ways, and kind in all his doings. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desire of all who fear him. He also hears their cry and saves them. The Lord watches over all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth will speak the praise of the Lord, and all flesh will bless his holy name forever and ever." Our King Jesus proclaims his eternal kingdom, a kingdom where the least among us is the greatest, a kingdom of servants of the poor, a kingdom of lovers of mercy, a kingdom that responds to evil by loving and forgiving and seeking peace, a kingdom whose king is enthroned upon a cross, a kingdom whose king defeated death through his love, a kingdom whose king brings us life everlasting and has promised to wipe every tear from our eyes and make all things new. The good news is this: Jesus Christ reigns now and forever. Let us pray. King Jesus, you are an everlasting King, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Savior and Light of the world. Grant us the grace of true repentance, and renew a resolute spirit within us, so that we may belong wholeheartedly to your kingdom, now and forever. Amen. Jesus took with him Peter and James and his brother John, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly, there appeared to them Moses and Elijah, talking with him. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will make three dwellings, here one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, suddenly a bright cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud a voice said, "This is my Son, the Beloved. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell to the ground and were overcome by fear. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Get up and do not be afraid." And when they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus himself alone. The Lord is King. Let the earth rejoice. let the many coastlands be glad. Clouds and thick darkness are all around him. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne. Fire goes before him and consumes his adversaries on every side. His lightnings light up the world. The earth sees and trembles. The mountains melt like wax before the Lord of all the earth. The heavens proclaim his righteousness, and all the peoples behold his glory. All worshippers of images are put to shame. Those who make their boast in worthless idols, all gods bow down before him. Zion hears and is glad, and the towns of Judah rejoice because of your judgments, O God. For you, O Lord, are most high over all the earth. You are exalted far above all gods. The Lord loves those who hate evil. He guards the lives of his faithful. He rescues them from the hand of the wicked. Light dawns for the righteous, and joy for the upright in heart. Rejoice in the Lord, O you righteous, and give thanks to his holy name. For a shining moment, Jesus disclosed to his chosen apostles his divine glory. Peter had already confessed by faith that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God. And by grace, this was confirmed and illuminated on the mountain of the Transfiguration. Moses and Elijah appeared there to represent the law and the prophets. In many and various ways, God spoke of old to our ancestors, giving the law to Moses and through the prophets, preparing his people for the coming salvation of humanity. And now, in the fullness of time, he speaks to us through his Son, who is the refulgence of his glory, the very imprint of his being, through whom he created the universe and who sustains all things by his mighty word. Moses and Elijah also remind us of the theophanies they experienced, that is to say, the personal manifestations of God in the Old Testament. For Moses, God's presence was often accompanied by thunderous sounds, and for Elijah, a gentle whisper. And now God's presence touches us personally, with his mighty yet gentle hand, as he reaches out to us whenever we've fallen, overcome with fear, like his apostles, and he says, "Do not be afraid." Let us pray. Saints Peter, James, and John, chosen apostles of Christ, who beheld his glory on the mountain, illuminate our prayer lives and teach us how to cultivate a closer relationship with Christ, that we may pursue all holiness in this life and behold his glory wherever he manifests it, from the thunderous sounds to the quiet whispers in our lives. And when we fall down with fear, let us look up and see our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Then he took bread, and after giving thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which will be given for you. Do this in memory of me." And he did the same with the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which will be poured out for you. Amen, amen, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you do not have life within you. Whoever feeds upon my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is real food, and my blood is real drink. Whoever feeds upon my flesh and drinks my blood dwells in me, and I dwell in him. Just as the living Father sent me, and I have life because of the Father, so whoever feeds upon me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, unlike your ancestors who ate and nevertheless died. The one who feeds upon this bread will live forever." I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and listened to my cry for mercy, because he has inclined his ear to me on the day when I called out to him. The bonds of death encompassed me, the snares of the netherworld held me tightly, I was seized by distress and sorrow. Then I cried out in the name of the Lord, O Lord, I entreat you to preserve my life. Gracious is the Lord and righteous, our God is merciful. The Lord watches over his little ones. When I was brought low, he saved me. Be at peace once again, O my soul, for the Lord has shown mercy to you. He has delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, and my feet from stumbling. I will walk in the presence of the Lord in the land of the living. I believed, therefore I said, I am greatly afflicted. In my dismay I cried out, all men are liars. How can I repay the Lord for all the good he has done for me? I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of his people. Precious in the eyes of the Lord is the death of his faithful ones. O Lord, I am your servant. I am your servant, the child of your handmaid. You have loosed my bonds. I will offer you a sacrifice of thanksgiving and call on the name of the Lord. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the house of the Lord, in your midst, O Jerusalem. Alleluia. The Catechism describes the Eucharist as the source and summit of the Christian life. It is the beginning and the highest point, because it is our Lord himself communing with us. It is the sacrifice of Calvary in a meal, so that we might come together in mutual love to remember our Savior's death and resurrection. The Eucharistic liturgy is the Paschal banquet in which Christ is consumed, we are filled with grace, and connect with the divine life. It is the culmination of God's action, sanctifying the world in Christ, and of the worship we offer to Christ and through him to the Father in the Holy Spirit. In receiving the Lord in the Eucharist, we come to share in the divine life, fulfilling the Lord's high priestly prayer that we all may be one, as he and the Father are one. As Christ abides in us and we in Christ, we abide in each other. Frequent communion, then, opens our eyes to the sufferings of our neighbors. Our neighbors' joys and sorrows become our joys and sorrows. In this sacrament of love and unity, we get a taste of eternity. Let us come humbly then to the Lord's table, to the altar of sacrifice, and offer ourselves wholeheartedly in union with Christ as a sacrifice of thanksgiving to our Father in heaven, so that we might abide in him and he in us, now and forever. Amen. Let us pray. Eucharistic Jesus, bread of life, fountain of mercy, powerful medicine and nourishment for souls, in whom is contained the fire of purest love which blazes forth from the bosom of the Eternal Father, we adore you and love you and wish to be united with you. Since we cannot now receive you sacramentally, come at least spiritually into our hearts, and let us never be separated from you. Amen. Alleluia. Therefore, let us keep the feast by sharing.